With this shady groves of pine, olive, and oak trees, the considerable remains of two temples, and the stadium where the first Olympic races were run in 776 BC, Olympia is the most beautiful major site in the Peloponnese. The ancient site of Olympia is a 15-minute walk south of the modern village, so it enables one to see both the ancient and the new. The straggling modern village of Olympia, confusingly known as Ancient Olympia, is bisected by its one main street. The town has about 20 hotels and restaurants and an assortment of tourist shops. Even though I'll be eager to see the ancient site, it's a good idea to first visit the museum, which reopened after extensive renovation in 2004. The museum is directly across the street from the ancient site. The collection makes clear Olympia's astonishing wealth and importance in antiquity. Every victorious city and almost every victorious athlete dedicated a bronze or marble statue here, creating what was in effect one of the first outdoor museums of sculpture. Nothing but the best was good enough for Olympia, and many of these superb works of art are on view with excellent labeling. Most of the exhibits are displayed in rooms to the right and left of the main entrance and follow an essentially chronological sequence from severe Neolithic phases to Baroque Roman imperial statues, neither of which will probably tempt you from heading straight ahead to see the museum's superstars. Still, don't miss the superb bronze heads of snarling griffins or the painted terracotta statue of a resolute Zeus abducting a youthful Gaianeme. The monumental sculpture from the Temple of Zeus is probably the finest surviving example of archaic Greek sculpture. The sculpture from the west pediment shows the Battle of the Lance and Centaurs, raging around the magisterial figure of Apollo, the god of reason. On the east pediment, Zeus oversees the chariot race between Onomaios, the king of Pisa, and Pelops, the legendary figure who wooed and won Onomaios' daughter by the unsporting expedient of loosening his opponent's chariot pins. Pelops not only won his bride, but had the entire region named after him, the Peloponnese, otherwise Pelops Island. At either end of the room, sculptured metopes show scenes from the labors of Hercules, including the one he performed at Olympia, cleansing the foul stables of King Augeas by diverting the Alpheios River. Just beyond the sculpture from the Temple of Zeus are the 5th century BC Winged Victory, created by the artist Paionios, and the 4th century BC figure of Hermes and the infant Dionysus, known as the Hermes of the Praxiteles. The Hermes has a room to itself. Here, Hermes is smiling with amused tolerance at his chubby half-brother Dionysus. It is thought by many scholars that this is not an original work by Praxiteles, but a Roman copy. From the museum, cross the street and enter Olympia Sacred Precinct. Held every 4 years until their abolition by Killjoy, Emperor Theodosius I in AD 393, the Olympic Games were held for at least 1,000 years at this site. The World Heritage-listed site of ancient Olympia is still a recognizable complex of temples, priest dwellings, and public buildings. It is also the site where the Olympic torch begins each Olympic year. The site contains excellent explanatory boards with depictions of what the buildings would have looked like, along with a plan and description in English. Thanks to Theodosius II and various earthquakes, little remains of the magnificent buildings of ancient Olympia, but enough remains to get an idea of what this setting was like in ancient times. As for the actual ancient site, Olympia's setting is magical. Pine trees shade the little valley dominated by the conical hill of Cronus that lies between the Alpheios and Cladios rivers. Reforestation of the hill of Cronus continues after the devastating fires of 2007 that ravaged the Peloponnese and threatened ancient Olympia itself. The 1980s excavation concentrated on Roman Olympia, especially in the southern area of the site. Although considerable progress has been made, neither the main entrance nor the route of the ceremonial way during Roman times is known. The handsome temples and the famous stadium are not at once apparent as you enter the site. Immediately to the left are the unimpressive low walls that are all that remain of the Roman baths, where athletes and spectators could enjoy hot and cold plunge baths. Some recently restored mosaics are on view. The considerably more impressive remains with the slender columns on your right mark the gymnasium of 2nd century BC and palestra. The palestra is the wrestling school, where athletes practice their foot racing and boxing skills. The enormous gymnasium had one roof track where athletes could practice in bad weather. Also on the right are the fairly meager remains of a number of structures, including a swimming pool and the large square Leonidion, which served as a hotel for visiting dignitaries until a Roman governor decided it would do nicely as his villa. You can continue around the outskirts of this site, identifying other civic buildings. The foundations of the Philippion are on our left, directly across from the palestra, and are the remains of a circular construction with Ionic columns built by Philip of Macedon to commemorate the Battle of Chaeronea in 338 BC. Here, he defeated a combined army of Athenians and Thebans. The building contains statues of Philip and his family. And the ruins to the left of the Philippion is the Prytaneum, the magistrate's residence. Here, winning athletes were entertained and feasted. The religious sanctuary is dominated by two shrines, the good-sized Temple of Hera and the massive Temple of Zeus. The Temple of Hera, with its three standing columns, is the older of the two. It stands to our immediate left. The Temple of Hera is the site's most intact sanctuary. Hera was worshipped along with Rhea until the two were superseded by Zeus. Built around 600 BC. If you look closely, you'll see that the temple's column capitals and drums are not uniform. That's because this temple was originally built with wooden columns, and as each column decayed, it was replaced. So, each new column had slight variations. The Hermes of Praxiteles was found here, buried under the mud that covered Olympia for so long, caused by the repeated flooding of the rivers. The Altis, or sacred precinct of Zeus, lies east of the path, or on the right side of the complex, directly in front of us. Its most important building was the immense 5th century Doric Temple of Zeus, which enshrined Phidias's statue, later removed to Constantinople by Theodosius II, and where it was destroyed in fire in AD 475. One column has been restored and re-erected and helps put into perspective its size. Zeus's temple, which once had a veritable thicket of 34 stocky Doric columns, was built around 456 BC. In 2004, one column was re-erected in honor of the Athens Olympics. The entire temple, so austere and gray today, was anything but plain in antiquity. Gold, red, and blue paint was everywhere, And inside the temple stood an enormous gold and ivory statue of Zeus, seated on an ivory and ebony throne. The statue was so ornate that it was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and so large that people joked that if the Zeus stood up, his head would go through the temple's roof. In fact, the antiquarian Philo of Byzantium suggested that Zeus had created elephants simply so that the sculptor Phidias would have the ivory to make his statue. Not only do we know that Phidias made the 43-foot statue, we know where he made it. The workshop was identified by archaeologists after the discovery of tools and molds. The workshop of Phidias was on the site of the well-preserved brick building, clearly visible west of the temple outside the sanctuary. The building would be the ruins directly behind us as we face the Temple of Zeus with the palaestra on our left. Between the temples of Zeus and Hera, you can make out the low foundations of a round building. This is all that remained of the shrine that Philip of Macedon, never modest, built here to pat himself on the back after conquering Greece in 338 BC. The restored facade that you see today was restored in 2004 in honor of the Athens Olympics. Also to the north of the Temple of Zeus, between it and the Temple of Hera, is the Pelopion, a small wooded hillock with an altar to Pelops. It was surrounded by a wall containing the remains of its Doric portico. Many artifacts now displayed in the museum were found on this hillock. South of the Temple of Zeus is the consul house, called a Bulioteion, which contains the altar of oaths where competitors swore to obey the rules decreed by the Olympic Senate. Walking into the large open ceremonial area directly in front of us, there'll be the hill, Mount Tronus on our left with the treasuries below it, the stadium in front of us, and the eastern baths and other Greek buildings to the right. Beyond the temples of Zeus and Hera, built up against the hill of Kronos, are the curved remains of a once elegant Roman fountain and the foundation of 11 treasuries where Greek cities stored votive offerings and money. In front of the treasuries are the low bases of a series of bronze statues of Zeus, dedicated not by victorious athletes, but by those caught cheating in the stadium. The statues would have been the last thing competitors saw before they entered the stadium. Between the Temple of Hera and the treasuries is the Nymphaeum, erected by the wealthy Roman banker Herodotus Atticus in AD 156. Typical of the buildings financed by Roman benefactors, it was grandiose, consisting of a semicircular building with Doric columns flanked at each side by a circular temple. The building contained statues of Herodotus Atticus and his family. Despite its elaborate appearance, the Nymphaeum had a particular purpose. It was a fountain house supplying Olympia with fresh spring water. Climbing the stone steps beyond the Nymphaeum will give you a better view of the treasuries which stretch to the stadium, each erected by a city-state for use as a storehouse and marking the northern boundaries of the altars. At the bottom of these steps are the scant remains of the 5th century BC Metrun, a temple dedicated to Rhea, the mother of the gods. Apparently, the ancients worshipped Rhea in this temple with orgies. The stadium lies to the east of the altars and is entered through an archway. The start and finish lines are the 120-meter sprint track, and the judges' seats still survive. The stadium could seat at least 45,000 spectators. Slaves and women spectators had to be content to watch from the Hill of Kronos. The Museum of the History of the Olympic Games in Antiquity opened in 2004 and occupies the neoclassical building that served as the site's original archaeological museum. It's located near the entrance exit to the ancient site and a place to stop before exiting the site. The path to the museum is steep, but the collection is superb. It includes chariot wheels, musical instruments, statues of athletes, bronze dedication to Zeus, and all manner of athletic gear. A number of photos and drawings highlight the religious sanctuary, and each of the 12 galleries has a theme, including the beginning of the games, Zeus and his cults, and the events, and shows games at other ancient sites, such as Delphi. After completion of this tour of the ancient site of Olympia, it's a perfect time to find a nice cafe and get relief from the hot Greek sun and enjoy a cold Greek beer.